So I gave you a slight warning. We're going to do something a little bit different today. If you're new and visiting, this will be nothing crazy weird because I'm not that weird. But I wanted to wrap up the end of the year sharing some things on my heart and passage I think is important, but also give a chance for maybe some of you to participate and kind of step out of your comfort zone. All my introverts are fearful right now as to what this means, right? And really behind this, before we jump into it, is this idea up here is celebrating what God has done. You know, we get to the end of the year, you hit the new year, and everybody focuses on goals and New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. But I don't know if you're like me at all. I like to kind of stop and reflect on the past year and evaluate some things in my own life. I'm just wired that way. I don't know if everybody else is that way, but I think that's important because I don't want to go in the new year and make the same mistakes, have the same issues, some of the same baggage, because we all carry different baggage, some of us more than what we need to, right? And so we're going to do that as a whole group here, okay? So to kind of set the stage for it and get us going, I think this was common in the early church, particularly in Jerusalem, which was uncommon from all the other early churches that we read about, and because of what happened in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you had this miraculous thing of these tongues of fire coming down on the disciples as they waited for Jesus, which he told them to do. And as a result of that, Peter and the others went out and they just started preaching and sharing the gospel message, and scripture says that the people heard them in their own language, which was a miraculous thing, and that thousands of people came to know Christ as a result of that, day after day. And particularly in the church in Jerusalem early on, as they came together and lived in what we would call more of a communal type of way, where they started selling land and giving things and doing things to just encourage and help each other as newer believers. One particular reason is because if you declared publicly that you're now a follower of Jesus and a disciple of his, and you're connected to a Jewish family, well, that didn't jive very well because most of them didn't see Jesus as the Messiah, so you were out. So who did you lean upon as family? And so the church became a big family here in Jerusalem for those that were still there. And there's some things highlighted. You can turn in your Bibles. We'll be there shortly. List a little bit in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so I highlighted some things. So there was teaching and preaching, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, what we call that, which was really just a snippet of the whole Passover meal. Prayer, baptisms, miracles, healings and things that went on, meeting different needs. And so with that in mind, as we kind of move forward, and we're going to celebrate what God has done, this is where you're going to come in. As we keep that sort of thing in mind, maybe we can capture a little bit of that. I'm not going to ask all of you to just quit what you're doing and we're all going to live in a commune. That would just be weird, wouldn't it? Right? I only know of one group that did that. That was in Chicago, the Jesus people. Check them out sometime. I met some from there. But what we can do is have our own participation time, which is actually not very common in most churches, because most churches come in just like you are, and you'll sit in a chair or a pew, and we'll sing songs, and that's participation in a way. But most time you wait for the pastor to come up, hopefully give a really good, inspiring message. You don't fall asleep halfway through, which I understand. It's the morning. Some of you just need to drink more coffee. That's your own fault, right? And then at the end of it, you walk out and feel encouraged, inspired, and maybe challenged, which we're going to do that. But I want to challenge you, and some of you are like, I'm never coming back here again. I want you to get involved a little bit more, and this is how we're going to do it, okay? So, those of you that feel like you're inclined and ready, I have a mic up here, okay? I'll walk around with it. You've been at seminars and things before when the speaker puts you on the spot. Everybody loves that, right? Like four or five of you raised your hand. The rest of you are like, I hate this guy already. So, I want somebody, one or two, this is it, my only expectation for this first thing. I want somebody to share their favorite scripture from this past year that was really meaningful to you, and I want you to get your Bible out or Bible app, and I want you to read it for everybody else to hear. One or two people. Your favorite scripture that was really meaningful to you in this past year, and as soon as you have it, raise your hand. Some of you are like, not going to do that. So somebody's going to do it before we move forward. Real quick, favorite scripture. Doesn't have to be a long one. Don't tell me it's five chapters long. We don't have time for that. Okay? Anybody? Favorite scripture of this past year that was really meaningful. Okay, I'm going to come all the way back. Of course, it's got to be a pastor's kid. Go ahead. It's on.
Okay. So, in my own Bible study, we've been going through the Gospels. Now we're in the book of Acts, but, you know, we went through all the Gospels in a chronological order. But, you know, I had the book of Matthew very, and I'm not going to quote the whole book of Matthew, don't worry.
I was a little worried about giving you a mic.
You know I can stay up here all day.
I know.
Yeah, no, so I got asked to do the Veterans Day prayer at my church. And so I took from Matthew 5:9. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And I really got to speak on that and pray that to a bunch of people and kind of give them an in-depth, intimate meaning as to why that was important. So, I mean, it's not like I have it tattooed on my arm or anything. So,
good. Thank you. All right. See, that was so easy. And that was not planned. That's my oldest son, if you don't know that. So, anybody else? All right.
All right. Mine from this year was John 15, chapters 1 through 4. And it says, Jesus, the true vine. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And during that whole deep dive discussion that we did within that was the first time I had ever really looked at it from a perspective of this or that. And that was pretty eye-opening for me this year.
Cool. Good. Thank you. One more? Well, no pressure. I said one or two, didn't I, right? Everybody's like, yeah, we're sticking to that. Move on. Okay. All right. So, next question. I want one to three people to share briefly answered prayer from this year. Big or small, doesn't matter. You send prayer requests and I pray for you. But we never hear about them, right? So does anybody have one or three of you, just real quick, some answer prayer from this past year? I know you do. I'm going to get some steps in here. This is good.
I feel like this is a broken record, but we have three boys. They're 20, 21, and 25. None of them participate in church at this time, and our middle one has some very strong feelings about a church group, but he started his own Bible study in his home with his 21-year-old friends, and they meet weekly, and they've done this since March, and they don't miss a week. They do it on a Saturday or on a Sunday, whenever they can get together with their group of friends. I think it's fabulous.
Good. Thank you. Cool. Anybody else?
I've had several wonderful. One of them I'm going to talk about, it's not my daughter, but I have a special praise for my daughter who did it. She's on dialysis now and doing well so far until she gets a transplant. But her significant other has been an alcoholic on and in rehab 4 or 5 times. And he is clean and sober right now because he wanted to help her since she's been on dialysis. So I praise God for that.
Awesome. Thanks, Pat. One more? I said 1 to 3. I got 2. We're almost there. There we go.
Just in case you're going to ask, okay. My New Year's resolution, or my word for that we talk about a word, is going to be believe. So my biggest prayer, answered prayer this year, has been change of heart and mind. Sometimes you can be so stuck in a mindset, the Lord has to impress upon you to change your heart and mind. That's my biggest belief, and my next word is believe.
Cool. Thank you. All right, we got to 3. That's good. Doing really well. We're checking off my list. Good. So, next thing gets more challenging. Everybody ready? Everybody, are you ready to go home yet? Okay? I'm not going to let you go yet. So, this next thing, with people around you, this is going to be a little bit tougher, okay? So if people around you, or if you have a small group, or you got to slide over, I want you to get together with, if you can, 3 or more, and I want for the next few minutes, just to talk briefly, I want you to pray for each other. And some of you are like, I don't even know some of these people. It's okay. We're all Christians. We're all trying to figure this out. This is totally different, but this fits the Acts chapter 2 stuff. This was normal for them, not normal for a normal church service, right? Because we just don't do things that way, but we're going to break those rules. So turn left or right, get a few of you together, and just say, tell if you have something to pray for, great, but just pray for each other. And I'm going to give you a few minutes. Ready, set, go. You can get up and move a little bit if you want, but go. All right, I'm going to give you a few more seconds here. We're going to get to the next part. One more second. More time, sorry. I've been told. Okay. It's all good. Now, next thing we're going to do is, this would have been more common in the early church because they didn't carry their Bibles around because they didn't have them. They didn't carry scrolls around either because they didn't have them. So they learned to remember scripture by repetition orally. Some of you in small groups know that that's part of that, you know, where we listen to it and kind of talk it back. So what we're going to do is, it's a liturgical thing called responsive reading. And we're going to do that together, okay? So when I say go, we're going to start together, right? Here's the passage. It's the 23rd Psalm. Some of you might have it memorized, but it's a great picture of who God is and how He works in our lives. So on the count of 3, we're going to start together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good. One last thing before we move forward. You're almost done with this part. I give you guys close to an A+ so far. So what I want you to do, out loud, no, doesn't have to be 1 or 3, but at least 1 to 3. 1 up to 5 words that are just praise for God and who He is. That's it. All about God. 1 to 5 words. So pause for a moment, think. And just shout out just words of praise for God and who He is. Maybe it relates to your life. Ready, set, go. There's love. What else? Anybody? Grace? Anybody else? Peace, what? Glory to God in the highest. Anybody else? Provision, okay. Anybody else? Forgiveness, what? Majestic, okay. I heard 2, what? Agape love. Agape love, and over here? Salvation. Salvation, okay. Anybody else? Compassion. Okay. You guys did really good. So it's kind of like an exercise, it feels like that. I will share with you, as I have studied stuff from the early church, this is more realistic of how the early church functioned more than anything else. You know that? In terms of how we do church today, there's nothing written in the Bible about how to do a worship service. But this would have been more natural, more realistic, and closer to what the early Christians did until we got more organized and institutionalized, we'll say. This is a good thing. My hope for us as we go in the new year, some of this stuff becomes more natural. If some of you liked some of this, even though it was a little bit awkward, I would suggest you check out one of our small groups, because I like putting plugs in for our small groups. As we go into the new year, this sharing thing, talking about Scripture back to each other, explaining it, praying for each other, being in fellowship and community is what we're trying to build with our small groups and trying to get more of those, because that's where real disciple-making happens. And so what we do here is just one slice of the pie of it, okay? So as we move forward, and my little part here I want to share with you, as we think about what to celebrate from this past year, which you guys have done really well, sharing a little bit, there's something important to think about that as we reflect and look back. And I've learned this from my own experience as a Christian. You can't move forward, thinking the new year, if you're always looking back, though. And here's the premise behind it. Just before 2020 hit and the whole world got shaken by the whole COVID stuff, which we're glad that's behind us, right? I ran my first, probably only marathon, possibly, in Columbus in 2019. Trained for 9 months. That was grueling. A lot of miles on the legs. Probably the best shape ever in my life. And I ran it, and I did not die. That was my goal, okay? But I did know this from running with other people and learning from it, is that you're not going to finish a foot race like that if you're running, looking forward, never occasionally you look back. Because looking back can get kind of discouraging. Because you look back and you're wondering, okay, am I going to make it? Who's behind me? Especially if you don't win in any sort of way. Because if you're looking back, there's another problem that happens. What happens if you look back when you're running? There's a very good chance that you're going to trip and fall. You got to keep your eyes forward. And not just looking down, more of like somewhere in here. Because I've done this before, and that's not safe either, okay? And the same thing is about our faith. It's great for us to look back and praise and reflect and do that sort of thing. But we can't just constantly keep looking back. Even I was thinking as the church, New Community Church has been around for a while. Not as long as compared to some here in this community, but long enough. And if we as a church just looked back and focused on the past and what God did in the past, we would be never able to move forward into the future and do what we're supposed to do. We'd be stuck in the past. And here's one of the problems I found with a lot of churches that I end up pastoring and had to help move forward is a lot of churches are stuck in the past. They're stuck in the past. A lot of people get spiritually stuck in the past for different reasons. And I find it's really interesting that as we look at Scripture and what God puts before us, that Paul has a great message, very short little snippet that I want to read to you from one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And it addresses this issue that I think will help us as we go into the new year. Philippians chapter 4, particularly starting in verse 10, going through verse 21. And this is what he writes. Paul writes, I want to know Christ. So this is not just a head knowledge. This is something that's life transforming. I want to know Christ in a way that I'm not going to be the same as a result of it. I don't want to be like myself anymore. I want to be a different person. He says, and the power of his resurrection, because he knows that that's just something very unique and miraculous and divine from what Jesus did. And he says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, which is a little bit different because he's basically saying it's Philippians chapter 3, not 4. I'm looking up and I put the wrong chapter there, okay? Typo. So he says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, which is different because if we want fellowship, we think of talking and sharing a meal, interacting, that sort of thing. But he's basically saying, if I have to, for me to really know Christ, I want to go through the same kind of punishment, persecution, laying everything on the line, sacrificing kind of life as what Jesus did, if that gets me closer to him. That doesn't sound like fun Christianity, does it? No. But that's what he knows that's all about, because Jesus said that that path is narrow and that few find it, and that if you live for him, that the world's going to basically hate you. And he says, becoming like him in his death, and he says, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. And then he says, not that I've already obtained all this, because that's not going to happen really in the flesh. He said, or have already been made perfect. But he says, but I press on to take hold of that which for Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, and here's a key passage that we need to focus on, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, ultimately meaning that crown of life that is there for all who believe. But here's the thing with this. I think what Paul was trying to say, this is written to Christians, okay, is that you can't keep moving forward in your faith if you always are looking backwards, because you will not press on and get to where God wants you to be. And I think that's important for us. Some key words to note in this passage: press on literally means to move forward. It's not some of you ladies, your press on nails, it's not that, okay? I've seen my girls with the press on stuff. It's not press on like that. It's literally mean you have to keep moving forward. And when the words he uses is forgetting what is behind, it means to forget, neglect, or disregard, or we would say in our language today, don't dwell on the past. Anybody here willing enough to raise your hand that sometimes that's difficult to do? Come on. Right? Because in the past are past injuries and hurts and pains and experiences. And they just kind of, remember I said earlier, some of us bring baggage into the new year. That's that past stuff. And Paul's saying, you can't hold on to it if you're going to move forward in your faith. You'll be stuck. It'll drag you down. The emphasis, again, with these words is about moving towards a goal. And it's a metaphor, literally Paul likes to do this with his words, that was used then, and we can relate to it today, about a runner that doesn't look back while they're racing toward the finish line. You ever see somebody cross the finish line like this? No. Why? Because that's not how you finish, do you? When you cross that finish line, I can think of different races I ran in this area before a lot of them went away. I remember seeing that finish line. It's like I had an extra burst of energy. Anybody else experienced that before? And somehow it's like that second wind, and now you're running twice as fast that last 50 yards or whatever, and you're like, where did that come from, like halfway in the race, right? But you know when you see that finish line, there's excitement and there's energy, and it's like, oh, I made it, I'm not going to die, this is great type of moment. And that's the mindset that Paul's building towards here, is not just in terms of the end of our life or whatever, that sort of thing. Is he's basically saying is you need to have this sense, a mindset on a daily basis, that at any given moment you're going to see that finish line and you're getting closer. That's the edge that you need to live on. And you can't be there if you're looking back. You have to let stuff go. In fact, what's interesting is that the Greek tense of this, because it's fun to point these out, where it says forgetting what is behind is what we call the aorist tense, which means that with each and every issue that you are holding on to, at some point you have to decidedly let it go, and you bury it, it's gone, and you don't go digging it up. And here's who's the person most responsible for digging up stuff in your past? Anybody know? If you looked in the mirror and did your hair like I did this morning, which didn't take me long, then you know who that person is. And you got to stop being grave diggers with your past issues. Because if God has forgiven you for something, I don't care how big or small it is, it says that you are forgiven, and as far as the east is from the west, and if you went to God and say, hey, do you remember this? He'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. So if God's not going to remember it and hold it against you, why are you doing it? And that might be one of those things dangling there just in your past that's keeping you from moving forward the way God wants you to in your faith right now, and in some big or small way. You can't be looking back if you're focused on the finish line. Here's something else about these words, just to get a little bit deeper, about forgetting what is behind. The word forget depicts something that is done with or accomplished and therefore is no longer an issue before you. It's been said, done, no more. It's very definitive. And the word behind describes something that no longer has relevance in your life. It's old, antiquated, and no longer applicable. And that could be related to a type of mindset or behavior. Maybe there is some behavior in your past. We'll give an example. As a Christ follower, that you used to use some colorful language, and that just flew out easily, okay? But at some point along the journey, you realize, I can't talk that way and represent who well? Christ. So at some point in my life, I have to get a better vocabulary, probably better words, and drop that and leave that behind me. See how that works? Now we can take that to any issue that you're dealing with spiritually, in terms of your character and nature that God wants to do with you. But you know there's certain things that are there, might be lingering, that unless I deal with this, and I deal with it with God and within myself and let it go, I'm not going to move forward and focus on the finish line and live the kind of life that Christ wants me to live, the free life He wants me to live. So, with that thing in mind, I want to go to a few things that I think are important here about moving forward. Some questions, okay? Realizing you can't do this if you're still dwelling on the past. So what issue or issues from your past are you still holding on to right now, and why? I don't want you to turn left or right and dump your baggage on each other. But can we take a minute, close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's do this personal exercise. This is between you and God. And just say, and if you don't know what it is, just ask God, God, is there any issue from my past that I'm still holding on to? And will you at least reveal that to me so we can get it dealt with? Go. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, and ask God that. Okay. We're pretty close to a minute. A minute's a long time, isn't it? Silence. Now the next question. Might be related to this. What needs to change in your life so that you don't slide back into your old ways that prevent you from growing spiritually? This is more practical. It might be related to this thing that you just talked to God about, is present in your mind. But here's the thing. God does not want us to go back, look back, be stuck in the past with it. So there needs to be something as you move forward in the new year spiritually that needs to change. And here's the thing with it. It's just not self-endued, self-type focus type thing. It has to be in line with what God's Word says, because that's our foundation for it. So there's got to be some guidance and direction in Scripture that helps you with whatever that area is. This would be a great time to do a type of topical study or whatever it is with whatever that issue is or something, or get help with it so that you can start putting a framework together of how you can move forward in a positive way to help you grow spiritually so that this is no longer an issue in your life. Okay? Next question. Here we go. This is a positive one. What was your biggest spiritual lesson or victory this past year, and why? I've totally flipped the script here on this one. As you reflect on your life in this past year, and maybe you don't have an answer right now, but I want you to share your biggest spiritual lesson or victory this past year with somebody close to you before, I don't know, the end of this day. Because that's part of your testimony. And a lot of times we go and we ask for prayer, for things we're dealing with, but we don't often share the positive things, the good things that God has done, and people need to hear that. In fact, you probably need to hear it yourself saying it, so you can encourage yourself to keep moving forward and realize that this is worth it, and this is what life is all about in Christ. But as you look back on this last year, if you haven't learned some big spiritual lesson or had some victory spiritually, then that might be even a question with it, is why not? Why not? Should there be? Yes, because Paul says we keep moving forward. We're pressing on towards the goal. That means I need to keep growing, and in the midst of growing, there's going to be victories. And some of you have victories spiritually. For me, spiritual victories, I'll share them real quick for you, is we have disciple making as a main focus in the church, which is extremely important, part of the DNA of a church. And not every church says that. I'm going to brag about our church with the size that we are. We have close to 50% of people who go to this church who are in small groups. That is a really good thing, okay? So I'm bragging on you guys. In the midst of that, and I feel really blessed. There's some churches that struggle financially. God has blessed this church through COVID and stuff to where he has just gone above and beyond, and we've paid down the mortgage a ton, and we're doing more ministry stuff because of your generosity, and we're helping. We helped 45 families through the food pantry. That was unheard of for a church this size. And you know who's doing that? God, through you and your generosity. And how many of you have gotten baptized since I've been here as a pastor? There's been several of you, because that's a huge spiritual step. That's a victory. And we can go on and on and on of all the things that God has done in your lives, but we need to be talking about those things because that helps us continue to stay focused on what? The finish line. Because the finish line is the goal. Last question. And this is a tough one because you know it's going to come into the new year because I challenge the church every year on this one. As if you're going to start out the new year right, there's some character traits that are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And it says that they're the fruit of the Spirit, and it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says, against such things there is no law. So which character trait from that passage was most evident in your life this last year? And here's the indicator that others would agree with, and why. Because you could say it for yourself, but ask the people around you. For example, I know that it was not this year, but the year before I picked patience. I may remember that one. I hated that, okay? Patience is not fun. So if you pick it, just be prepared for challenges. But the people I asked about how well I did was my wife and family, because they see it on a regular basis. You need to ask this question about yourself if you're going to move forward and grow spiritually, is what kind of character traits? At least one was very evident in my life. Did I come across as more of a loving person? Do people see more joy in my life? Is there more gentleness? Do I have more self-control in certain areas? I mean, we know and we pray for John about his self-control issues with chocolate. We know he has work to do, okay? And so whatever that is and how that applies to you, you need to ask that question, because if you don't, here's the thing, it won't happen automatically. You have to choose it. This fruit of the Spirit is something that God wants to do in and through you, but if you don't focus on those things, he will not force you to be this way. You have to want it. So as we move forward into the new year, it's okay for us to reflect and think and pray and bring those things to thoughts to our minds. But we can't be what? Looking back if we're going to focus on the finish line. We have to keep moving forward. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes the simplicity of it is what we need to hear. And we thank you for the participation of everybody here today. Contributing to our time of worship and all that you're doing in our lives, and we want to continue to honor you as we go into the new year. We don't know what all is before us, but we believe in you as a God who goes before us, who will never leave us or forsake us, who will be by our side, whose Spirit lives in and through us to guide and direct us into all truth and righteousness. And Lord, we just want to reflect your character and nature to those around us each and every day, especially those in our families and loved ones that we want to be that example to and to pass on to future generations of what it means to be a disciple of yours. So thank you for all that you've done. We praise you for who you are and your work in our lives. And we lean on you as we go into this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.